believe the Lord is resetting you in this season. I thank you he's resetting you in this season. You're becoming more focused on his intention and his plan for you in your life. And God wants you to know that he's not passed you by, he's not passed your family by, but he's very much aware of everything that's going on. Yes, God. Thank you, Father God. Oh, Yahasama Mama Makaya. God wants to remind you today that he that is for you is much greater than that which is against you. He says, I've come to bring you peace. Wow, I've come to bring you peace today. And it's in me that you find that peace. It's in that relationship. God says to you today that you find your peace, the peace that you've been missing. Wow. And I was talking about the P-E-A-C-E. But then the Holy Spirit reminded me that there is another piece too. And he says the missing piece of the puzzle for your life is going to be put in place in this season that we're in. And I know things are seems like they're just so out of order and there's just a chaos everywhere. But you know, God stood out on the preface of time one time, way back, and all he's seen was darkness. All he's seen was the chaos. But that he looked beyond that, and he began to see something greater. And that's what we have to do in the midst of everything's going on. He says the missing piece of the puzzle is being put in place for your life in this season. And he said, yeah, everything may look like chaos and all that, but he says to remind you to look beyond that. To look beyond that. And he's going to cause you to see as like you've never seen before. There's going to be a fresh revelation, a vision restored to you in this season, that you're going to be able to see beyond your present circumstances. He says to remind you today that you stand in victory, that we have surpassing victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah. Hey, hey, say, hey, tia, koho, shala, tiko, home, baba, batea. Ah, la, sai, hey, kila, tu, sahanda, da, 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 ya. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for resetting the time. Resetting the time. Resetting the time. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for your word that's going forth today. That it's going to go forth and it's not going to land on empty ears, but it's going to land on ears that hear what thus saith the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for the anointing that's up on your word to break every yoke in the name of Jesus. Every yoke in the name of Jesus, I said. Hallelujah. Every yoke in the name of Jesus. For that one that says, well, it's just a family thing. It's just a family inheritance. When you got born and you got saved again, you came into a brand new family. Every curse that was placed upon your family in the past, you're not inheriting any of that. Oh. But you have great and precious promises from God. Don't say that, well, it's just like this. My family's just like this. It's just the way we are. That's a lie from the pits of hell. And he says for you to stand up and take authority over that spirit that wants to invade your home that says, well, it's just like this. It's just going to be this way. God says, no, it's not. I'm rearranging and I'm resetting the time for you. I'm resetting the time for you. Hallelujah. You've been bought with a price. Glorify the Lord your God, for he's doing a new thing in this season. We win, church. We win, we win, we win, we win, we win. Rest assured today that we win. Hallelujah. Am I preaching to anybody today? I'll take it, Lord. I'll take it, Jesus. I'll take it. I'll take it. I'll take it. Wow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let everybody say amen today. We want to welcome you this morning. We want to welcome you this morning. Thank you, Jesus. It's not over. It is not over. This is just a moment in time, and we are overcoming. We are going through. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We have a lot to say so about. Amen. Last week, getting into the message this morning. Hallelujah, Lordy mercy. I feel the Spirit of the Lord this morning, church. I sense His presence in a mighty way. Glory to God. Last week's message, we talked about how that Jesus held the key, that our past, present, and future was wrapped up in the obedience of one man, Jesus Christ. And we read from Ephesians chapter 1 that this was a long-range plan. Aren't you glad that God is never without a plan? Sometimes we may seem that like we're empty-handed and when we don't have a plan, I want you to know that the God you serve, the God that you belong to, has a plan. And the Word tells us that we read last week is, and through the revelation of the Anointed One, He unveiled His secret desires to us, the hidden mystery of His long-range plan. That excites me to know that the times when I feel like that I'm without a plan, I know that He's got a plan, and I need to try to get into the place where I can understand that plan and to begin to walk in it, amen, which He was delighted to implement from the very beginning of time. And because of God's unfailing love, unfailing purpose, this detailed plan will reign supreme through every period of time, past, present, and future, church. This detailed plan will reign supreme through every period of time until the fulfillment of all the ages finally reaches its climax, when God makes all things new in all of heaven and earth through Jesus Christ. So, you know, God has never been caught off guard with anything that's happened. That's because He's sovereign in the events of the world and the lives of His people. So as we as sons and daughters of God can rest assured that He has a plan already worked out. I need for somebody to say this morning, right wherever you're at, He's working it out for me. He has it all worked out. I'm going to rest in Him. He knows all about it. And I will see the victory. Amen. So today's message, I want to title it, Beyond the Resurrection. Beyond the Resurrection. And I want to remind us today as believers why we are here. What we have been called to as a body of believers. And what has been given to the church, the born again sons and daughters of God. It's because of His finished work. We already have victory in every area of our life. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is not going anywhere. They may call us crazy. They may call us fanatics. They may call us faith people. So be it. We are here and we are staying here until Jesus says it's time to go home. And time He says, come on. Let's come on home, church. We may be quarantined, but we cannot be silenced. Ooh. The Word of God cannot be contained, for He is the Word, and He is everywhere. Amen. David said, where can I go from Your presence, O God? So resurrection was not the end, but the beginning. Matthew 16, Jesus told the disciples what was going to happen. He said, I've got to go to Jerusalem, going to suffer many things at the hand of the elders, chief priests and teachers in the law of the law, and he must be killed. But He said, on the third day, I'm going to rise again. Remember, God always has a long-range plan. And this long-range plan included a church in which believers would carry out the work Jesus had started in the earth. The resurrection solidified what He said to be of truth. Because had He not resurrected, that would be the end of it. Amen? So after the resurrection, He was with the disciples, the Word tells us, for 40 days. Acts 1 and 3 says, He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God to them. So after His erection, He came back, appeared to them, and continued to teach them and impart to them about the kingdom of God. He continued teaching them and imparting it to them, getting them ready to continue to carry on the mission of the good news, of the gospel. Acts 1 says, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day He was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles He had chosen. Before Jesus' crucifixion, before his resurrection, we read in Matthew 16, starting at verse 13 through 20, we read an interaction between Jesus and his disciples. The word says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? And they said, well, some say you're John the Baptist, others Elijah, and there's still others that say you're Jeremiah, one of the prophets. But what about you, he asked, who do you say that I am? See, everybody else can say about who Jesus is, but what's more important is what are you saying about Jesus? What is your say-so about him? And so Simon Peter said, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you're Peter on this rock. I'm going to build my church. The gates of Hades, the gates of hell will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. The church is a divine decree that cannot and will not fail, because God has given his word on it, and we know that when God says something, it's going to go out, it's going to flourish, it's going to accomplish what he intended for it to be. It's not going to come back to him void. So here Jesus is declaring his intention to build the church, the long-range plan of God. The church was not plan B on his mind. You were not plan B on his mind. So upon hearing Peter's confession, you are Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus said, because of that confession, because of that revelation that you have received, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now that word prevail means to overcome, to gain the victory or superiority, to gain the advantage of. In other words, the gates of hell shall not be victorious over my church. The gates of hell shall not be victorious over us. So when all hell is thrown against you, remember whose you are, what you are, and what your purpose is here. So if you're going through hell right now, don't hold it. Don't hold it. And don't take offense at it. But stand in the authority that Jesus has given you and said, I've got the word that the gates of hell is not going to prevail against me because I'm the church of the living God. So remember at those times when all hell is thrown against you, remember the price that was paid for your freedom at Calvary. Remember the blood of the one man, Jesus Christ, the blood that still speaks today. That's the man who died on the cross, paid for our sins, paid for our sins. The blood of this one man, Jesus, will make a difference in our lives and continues to make a difference because the blood still speaks. Jesus, whose tomb is empty, yes, my life is forever changed. Yes, your life is forever changed. For those of you that may be listening and have not received Jesus or maybe have wandered away, he says he's still for you and not against you. And your life can be forever changed. That's the man, Jesus, whose spirit dwells in us. The resurrection power that lives in us, making us an overcomer. Overcomer. So the church is built on a message, not man's plan. Not man-made plan. But it was built on the message. On this rock, I'll build my church. On this rock, he says, I'll build my church. And 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is already laid, which is Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. The foundation of the church was laid. And as a lamb, he died for the sins of the world. And the sacrificial death on the cross is the price that was paid in order that there could be a church. It was bought for with the blood of Jesus. Peter said, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. In that confession, in that revelation, every person who makes that confession in repentance, in faith, believing that Jesus is the Son of God, is added to the church. Becomes part of that church in the earth. And the church continues to grow today. And it's going to continue to grow tomorrow. It's going to continue to grow until Jesus splits the skies and says, come home, church. Your work is done. It's time to come home. So Jesus Christ is the unchanging foundation. No attack against him will prevail or prosper. You know, the Bible says that no weapon formed against us. I like that word prosper because one definition of it is exceed at reaching its intended purpose. No weapon that is formed against God's church will ever succeed at reaching its intended purpose, and that is to kill, steal, and to destroy. And you might think, well, what about death? We win over death because Jesus conquered it when he rose from the grave. So we still win. We still win. So after Jesus had declared that he would build his church on the truth of Peter's confession, he went on to say in verse 19, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. You know, he said, you're my church. That's how the church is going to be built. I'm the foundation of it. I paid for it in my blood, with the blood. But what I have called and commissioned you to do is not to be done in your own strength. I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. Keys is to unlock or to lock. Amen. So he went on to say in verse 19, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Later on in Matthew, he says the same thing with the disciples. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So again, he said it. So that means the matter is already decided. It's already decreed. It's already declared. So when we begin to decree and declare, binding and loosing, it's not that we're trying to make something happen that has not already had its say-so in heaven. That's why the redeemed of the Lord can say so, because it's already been decreed and declared in heaven. And that is what we begin to say. That is what we begin to confess. So we, the redeemed, the church, now have the say-so. So when you look at the word, we'll be bound and we'll be loose, it indicates that Jesus is the one who has activated the provisions through the cross. It's already been activated. So you know, when we begin to decree and declare and bind and loose, we're not trying to activate something that's not already been activated. Amen? But what we're doing is we're decreeing and loosing the power of God in the earth over spiritual darkness and wickedness in high places. So the church now has been given the authority to implement what Jesus has released through his life, death, and resurrection. Wow. It's a done deal, church. It's a done deal. So we, the church, the called out ones, the we that have been born again and confess that Jesus is the Son of God, the church, are a chosen people, according to 1 Peter 2:9. A chosen people. We are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, people who belong to God. Chosen to tell. Why are we chosen? It goes on to say, chosen to tell about the excellent qualities of God, who called you out of what? Out of darkness into his marvelous light. When we got saved, born again, made that confession that, yes, Jesus, you are Lord, we were automatically transferred out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. You are saved. Nothing can take that away from you. The power in the church is what people need right now in the world. The power of the church, what we know to be a truth that will overcome darkness. Not a fancy building we may go to every Sunday. Not more nice clothes to get dressed up for. Not someone trying to sell another book they wrote. Come on now. But a people who are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power to salvation to all those who believe, according to Romans 1:16. This is actually going to be a good thing for the church. Because what the enemy's meant for harm, God says, and saying, I'm getting the people out of the church. People have gone out of the church. And can you imagine and realize how much the gospel has been spread since we've had to get out of the building? Since we have to get out of the building now? And to realize it's not about getting dressed up and just coming to church.
But it's about having an encounter with the living God that will change your life so that you can go and change somebody else's life. And sometimes we get so wrapped up in the entertainment part of it and in the all those things that are involved in that, that we forget about why we are here, and that's seeing someone saved or delivered. So see the prostitute brought to Jesus. See the drug addict delivered and stay delivered. Amen. To see the hopeless gain hope again. That's what we're here for. We must never lose sight of that vision of what God has called to us as a church, as a body of believers. And yes, and thank God that we can come together. And we all miss that of seeing each other and fellowshipping. But the word that you have been taught over the years through our pastors, it's what is sustaining you now, because that's what's going to sustain you, is the Word of God. That is what's going to sustain you in these times that we're in right now. Thank God we've been part of New Life for the Nations and a faithful man and woman of God, Pastor Jay and Laverne Relaford, that has taught the Word, that has given us that Word over and over again. And they've not just preached it behind the pulpit, but they have lived it by example. Are you living your life by example that others are seeing? That even in this time that you're not fearing and that you're not reacting out of fear, but you're standing on faith of what the Word of God says? That we have surpassing victory in Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank God for the Word that we've been taught over the years, that we have hidden in our hearts, that at a time like this we can draw on that Word. Go back to the Word. Go back to the Word every time. It's like the article that I wrote in the handout that you can go on our website and see. You know, it's easy for some just to believe what man has to say about what's happening. But have you ever thought about what was on the heart, Father of God? Have you ever thought about what is on His heart in these times that we're living in? So instead of the why, just let us find our solace in the Word, because that is where the truth can be found. And one thing the Holy Spirit taught me a long time ago was God is good and the enemy of your soul is out to do you no good. If it's bad, it's from the devil. God is nothing but goodness, kindness, and love. The enemy is the one that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And that's the scripture He took me to years ago. He says, the enemy is out to do you no good. He's here to steal, kill, destroy. But He said, I have come that you may have, enjoy life, and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. So I'm here to tell you today that God can do nothing but good. God cannot do nothing but good. That's who He is. And He cannot be but good and evil at the same time. God's goodness is running to overtake us. Evil is burst from the evil one. The enemy of our lives desire to overtake us with fear in the chaos that is happening in the world. Jesus told us, He said, in me you're going to have perfect peace and confidence. He said, yeah, be expected. And in the world you're going to have tribulation, trials, distress, and frustration. He says, but listen, this is what I want you to do. I want you to take cheer in the midst of all this. Take courage, be confident, be certain, be undaunted. Why? Because He said, I've overcome the world. I have deprived its power to harm you and to conquer you. And when He rose on the third day, that same power that brought Him from the grave, that defeated even death, is the same power that lives in us. Amen. So am I telling you to be of good cheer today? Yes, I am. Absolutely. You have every right to be of good cheer. And I know all this is happening around us, but we've got to keep our faith. We've got to stay in faith and believe that this too is going to pass. It's just a moment in time, a big bump in the road. Amen, a big bump in the road. So, but we are people who are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to all those who believe. We are a people who say that heaven is a place of eternal bliss for God's saved ones. Hell has been prepared for the devil and his angels, not for the redeemed. The Bible is the infallible Word of God, inspired by the Holy Spirit, given to men of old. The blood of Jesus is still the only way man's sins are cleansed. And miracles are just as real as they were in the book of Acts. The standard's been raised and truth has been told. Let our voice, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, is heard in the land. An army of believers shouting out the truth that Jesus is still Lord, and we win. We win. Though the power that's in the church is the hope of glory, whom we testify to, whom we witness about, who we preach about, who we live for, who we breathe. Every breath we take, he is our hope. We, church, have been given the keys to loose the good news in the earth for such a time as this. That's what we are binding and loosening. We are loosening the word, loosing the word, taking that key, loosing that word that's already been settled in heaven. And for the good news, the word of the good news in the earth for such a time as this. Getting back to Acts 1, verse 10, and while the disciples, they looked steadfastly as he went up. Luke 24:49 tells us that, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry you in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. Wow. Acts 2:4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Somebody say Holy Ghost. Acts 4:31, and when they had prayed, the whole place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spake the word of God with boldness. Wow, the Holy Ghost will change you. You will have a boldness to speak the word of God. So, hallelujah. The church is precious to God. It was the only thing that he bought. And he brought it with the very best he had, with what he loved most, and that was Jesus. He sent his best gift to the earth. For God so loved the world that he gave. And he gave his best. He bought the church with his very own blood. The church is not built on money, program styles. How comfortable have we gotten that we have forgotten our purpose and our calling? The church is built on the person, Jesus Christ, and he paid the price of his life for the church, and that is us. Mark 16:15 says, Jesus said to them, so wherever you go in the world, tell everyone the good news. You know, a lot of people aren't verbal. But you can live your life by example. And that is a powerful testimony, is to live your life by example. That is during the age in which we're living, all believers are commanded to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and to go into all the world. And you may say, well, I don't want to leave Dare County, and I definitely don't want to leave Kentucky. You know, that's okay. What about the person next door? What about the person at the grocery store? The Holy Spirit nudges you to say they need a word of encouragement today. You know, what about the person on the street you go by, you know, and the Holy Spirit may be prompt you to pray for them. That's going into all the world and preaching the gospel, because we all have our world that we live in, and we can be an influence in the world in which we live. We can be an influence in the world in which we live. And the greatest compliment you can have is for someone to say, I watched your life. That is why I got saved. It's because you were an example. You were an example of God. And because of that, I saw something different. And that's what drew me to Christ. So you're living your life today as the church of God, as that living stone that he talked about. He said, Peter, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. Amen. And he is building it. He continues to build it. But let's not lose our focus in the midst of everything that's going on. But let's remember why we are here. Let's remember who we are. Let's remember whose we are and the gift that we've been given called life. Every day we can bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within us. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for your time that we've had together as a body of believers. As a body of believers, thank you for this time that we've had together. And I pray for everyone that's listening to this message now, later, or even next week. Your word, the anointing, and your precious Holy Spirit is still going to be the same. And I thank you, Father, for it reaching ears that need to hear a word today that Jesus loves them. And Jesus does love you. You may have fallen down, but he says, get back up. Get back up. Come on over here, child. I want to hold you and I want to love on you, because that's my love for you. And I pray for those today that are listening, God, that you continue to share them with your goodness, mercy, and favor, that you're just running to overtake them. And with all that's going on in the world, Lord, I thank you for your peace and for the blood of Jesus that protects. So those that have lost loved ones, Father, just comfort them during this time. just comfort them and let you know that you're the God of all comfort and that they can rest in you, God. They can rest on you. They can lean into you. They can lean into you during this time, God. And be reminded again that the enemy comes to steal, kill, or destroy. But you said, I've come to give you life and life forevermore. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.